But I only spoke about the first sentence. So I thought I would resume this week and speak a little bit more about what was actually the content of the commentary. This verse describes the various qualities which were created by Krishna. And the first of the commentary, it describes that whatever qualities exist of the living entities, whether they're good or bad, are all created by Krishna. So we thought it would be prudent to explain how everything, both good and bad, comes from Krishna. And we gave the example that actually Krishna is not bad, neither does he intentionally create anything bad. But because he gives the living entities their independent free will, when they turn away from Krishna, then they see bad. And we gave the example that when one is facing the sun, everything is bright, but when one turns his back to the sun, then he sees his shadow. But between one and the sun, there is no shadow, it's only behind you. So if you want to see darkness, you have to turn your back to the sun. In the same way, if one wants to experience duality, then one has to turn away from Krishna, who is the absolute all-good Supreme Being. And we'll speak a little bit about that, because that is also contained within the commentary. So first we'll read the Sanskrit that is there on the board, I believe, is it?
Yes.
And we'll read one word at a time, and then we'll chant the verse together as long as the verse is there on the board. The first word is Budhir. Budhir Jnanam Asamoha Kshama Satyam Dhamma Shamaha Sukam Dukam Bhavo Babavo Bhayam Chabayam Eva Cha Budhir Jnanam Asammoha Kshama Satyam Dhamma Shama Sukam Dukam Bhavo Bhavo Bhayam Cha Bhayam Eva Cha Budhir Jnanam Asammoha Kshama Satyam Dhamma Shama Sukam Dukam Bhavo Bhavo Bhayam Cha Bhayam Eva Cha Budhir Jnanam Asammoha Kshama Satyam Dhamma Shama Sukam Dukam Bhavo Bhavo Bhayam Cha Bhayam Eva Cha. Anyone like to chant it?
Shama Satyam Dhamma Shama
Sukam Dukam Bhavo Bhavo
buddhi. Should I say the English? It doesn't make any difference. No, I don't think I need to say the English. Okay. Gyanam. Asamoha.
Asamoha. Kite
Kshama.
Kshama.
Satyam.
Satyam. Igazmondás.
Dhamma.
Az érzékek szabályozás.
Shama.
Shama.
Sukam.
Sukam. Boldogság.
Dukam.
Boldogtalanság.
Bhava.
Születés.
Abhava.
Halál.
Bhayam.
Bhayam. Félelem.
Cha.
Cha. Is.
Abhayam.
Abhayam. Félelem nélkül is.
Félelem nélkül is.
Eva.
Eva.
Is.
Cha.
Cha. Is.
There's a few more words because there's two verses together. There are a few more words because there are two verses together. So I will read them also. Ahimsa.
Ahimsa.
Erőszak nélkül is.
Samatha.
Samatha.
Egyensúly.
Tushti.
Tushti.
Elégedettség.
Elégedettség.
Tapa.
Tapa.
Vezeklés.
Vezeklés.
Dánam.
Dánam.
Adományozás.
Adományozás.
Yasha.
Hírnév.
Ayasha.
Ayasha.
Szégyen.
Bhavanti.
Bhavanti.
Lesznek.
Bhava.
Bhava.
Természetnek.
Bhutanam.
Bhutanam.
Élőlényeknek.
Mata.
Mata.
Tőlem.
Eva.
Eva.
Bizonyára.
Pritakvidha.
Pritakvidha.
Különféleképpen elrendezett.
Translation. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, nonviolence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame and infamy, all these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone.
Mentesség a kétségtől és a tévhittől, megbocsátás, igazmondás, az érzékek szabályozása, az elme szabályozása, boldogság és szenvedés, születés, halál, félelem, félelem nélküliség, erőszakmentesség, kényensúlyozottság, elégedettség, vezeklés, adományozás, hírnév és szégyen. Egyedül tőlem származnak az élőlények a tulajdonságait.
Report. The different qualities of living entities, be they good or bad, are all created by Krishna and they are described here.
Magyarázat. Az élőlények különféle tulajdonságait, a jókat és a rosszakat egyenlet Krishna teremtő. Erről ír ez a vers.
Intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in their proper perspective, and knowledge refers to understanding what is spirit and what is matter.
Az értelem az a képesség, melynek segítségével a dolgokat helyes nézőpontból elemezzük, a tudás pedig azt jelenti, hogy megértjük, mi a lélek és mi az anyag.
Ordinary knowledge obtained by a university education pertains only to matter, and it is not accepted here as knowledge.
Az egyetemeken oktatott közönséges tudás csupán az anyagot érinti, és ezért itt nem tekintjük tudásnak.
Knowledge means knowing the distinction between spirit and matter.
Tudás annyit jelent, mint ismerni a különbséget a lélek és az anyag között.
In modern education, there is no knowledge about spirit. They are simply taking care of the material elements and bodily needs.
A modern oktatás kizárólag az anyagi elemekről és a testi szükségletekről tanít, és mellőzve a lélekről szóló tudomány.
Therefore, academic knowledge is not complete.
Az akadémikus tudás ezért nem teljes.
A samoha, freedom from doubt and delusion, can be achieved when one is not hesitant and when one understands the transcendental philosophy.
Az asamohát, a félelemtől és illúziótól való mentességet akkor lehet elérni,
slowly but surely he becomes free from bewilderment. Nothing should be accepted blindly. Everything should be accepted with care and with caution. Kshama, tolerance and forgiveness should be practiced. One should be tolerant and excuse the minor offenses of others. Satyam, truthfulness, means that facts should be presented as they are for the benefit of others. Facts should not be misrepresented. According to social conventions, it is said that one can speak the truth only when it is palatable to others. That is not truthfulness. Truth should be spoken in a straightforward way so that others will understand actually what the facts are. If a man is a thief, and if people are warned that he is a thief, that is truth. Although sometimes the truth is unpalatable, one should not refrain from speaking it. Truthfulness demands that the facts be presented as they are for the benefit of others. That is the definition of truth. We read this last week, so we'll speak about this section. It is a long commentary, and I don't know if I'll be able to read the whole thing tonight. But I'll stop here now and try to explain a little bit about what we have read so far. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshamunitamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Ukam Karoti Vachalam Angum Langayate Gari Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pajarani Nivashesha Sanyavari Paschachadi Sitarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaurav Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So as we said last week, all of these different qualities are ultimately created by Krishna. And the first one spoken of here is intelligence. And it said, and Srila Prabhupada explains that intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in their proper perspective. He takes intelligence and knowledge and puts them together. And he says, and knowledge refers to understanding what is spirit and what is matter. Example is given of how like the senses, the mind, the intelligence and the soul, they compare to be like the chariot. Compared to be like a chariot.
Yes. The
senses are like five horses which were connected to the chariot. And the mind is like the reins that are connected to the horses and which are held by the driver, who is the intelligence. If the intelligence is discriminating, then the mind can be controlled.
hogyha az elme, vagy az intelligencia teszi a megkülönböztetést, használja ezt a képességet, akkor lehet irányítani az elme.
As Krishna explains elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, superior to the sense objects are the senses themselves, superior to the senses of the mind, superior to the mind is intelligence, and then most superior is the spirit soul.
Ahogy Krishna is mondja a Bhagavad Gita-ban, hogy az érzékek túl magasabb rendben az érzékek, az érzékek fölött áll az elme, fölött az intelligencia és legfelsőbb szinten pedig a lélek.
If the mind is properly controlled, then the senses can come under control.
És hogyha az érzékeket megfelelően kontrolláljuk, akkor az elmét is tudjuk kontrollálni.
Just as if it, as the reins, if they're properly guided by the driver of the chariot, then the horses can be properly controlled.
Hogyha a hintónak a hajtója megfelelően tartja kezében a gyepőt, akkor a lovakat is megfelelően tudja irányítani.
And it's described that the spirit soul is like the passenger on the chariot.
És akkor a leírás úgy van, hogy a lélek az pedig az utasa a hintónak.
If the horses remain unbridled and are free to go any direction they wish to go, it is going to be a very difficult ride for the passenger.
És hogyha a lovak azok nincsenek megzabolázva, akkor csak össze-vissza mennek, és akkor nagyon nehéz útja lesz az utazónak.
Similarly, if the mind and the senses are not controlled, then the soul, he suffers the consequences.
Ugyanígy, hogyha az elme és az érzékek nincsenek uralunk alá vonva, akkor a lélek szenvedi el annak a következményét.
So here it says that the intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in their proper perspective.
Ugye itt úgy van, hogy az intelligencia arra való, hogy analizálja a dolgokat a megfelelő szemszögben.
It means that the ability to discriminate between what is right and what is wrong.
Hát azt arra képességre utal, hogy megkülönböztessük a jó dolgokat.
Elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada describes the mind to be like a reservoir for all ideas for sense enjoyment. So the mind, for the yogi, he must attempt to control his mind. As Krishna says elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, for one who controls his mind, it becomes his best friend, but for one who fails to control his mind, it is the worst enemy. Therefore, one has to learn how to distinguish or make a distinction between the desires that are coming from the uncontrolled mind and what is for our best interest.
És akkor az embernek meg kell tanulnia különbséget tenni azok között, a vágyak között, amik az elmébe jönnek, és azok között, ami igazából a mi javunkat szolgálja.
Actually, another word for this is religion.
Igazából egy másik szó erre a vallás.
But we'll stay away from that word right now. We'll stick to the simple definitions which are given here.
De most ettől a definíciótól eltekintünk, hanem itt ennél a tényen maradunk, ahogy itt utal rá kell.
We say that the word religion means is connected, because religion means when one is distinguishing between what is right and what is wrong.
Azért mondjuk ezt a vallás, mert vallás azt jelenti, hogy az ember megfelelő különbséget tesz jó és rossz között.
Prabhupada would oftentimes use the example of the animals, that they don't have the ability or capacity to practice religion.
Prabhupada gyakran mondta ezt, hogy az állatoknak nincs az a képességük, hogy gyakorolják a vallást.
But the human being, because he has higher intelligence, he is able to discriminate between what is right and what is wrong.
De mivel az emberi lénynek magasabb az intelligenciája, ezért van az a képesség, hogy különbséget tegyen jó és rossz között.
Prabhupada one time told the story. He said, just like if a man knows that you're supposed to drive the car on the right side of the road, and he drives the car on the left side of the road and is stopped by the police.
Prabhupada mondta ezt a példát, hogyha az ember tudja, hogy a jobb oldali sávban kell vezetni az autót, és mégis a bal oldali sávban megy és megállítják a rendőrök.
And the policeman says, you're driving on the left side of the road.
És a rendőr mondja neki, hogy hát uram, a bal oldalon vezetett.
You could create a disaster.
Egy katasztrófát is okozhat.
In fact, I think just last week there was some big accident in America. One drunk man was driving on the wrong side of the road and crashed into a car and killed 5 people.
Amerikában múlt héten volt egy nagyobb baleset, hogy egy ittes személy a jobb oldali sávkért a balba vezetett, és öt ember meghalt.
But anyways, the policeman says, you're driving on the left side of the road, you should drive on the right side of the road. And if the man says, "Sir, I am sorry, I am like dog," still he's going to be held responsible. He may say, "I am like dog, like animal," but still he's held responsible because he's not dog, he's human being and must know to drive on the right side of the road. So the animals, they act according to the instincts of their senses. But the human being is supposed to have a different standard for behavior. He should know that if he engages in certain activities, there will be consequences. And therefore, the ability to discriminate between what is wrong and what is right is called spiritual intelligence. Of course, now there is spiritual intelligence and there's also material intelligence. Or as described in the Bhagavatam, conditioned intelligence. There is one verse in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in which it is said that although the duality of the material world does not ultimately exist, the conditioned soul experiences it as real under the influence of his conditioned intelligence. Is that too much? Okay.
Bár az anyagi világ kettőségei nem valósak, a parányi élőlény mégis valósnak véli a feltételekhez kötött intelligenciája miatt.
This imaginary experience of a world separate from Krishna can be compared to the acts of dreaming and desiring. This imaginary experience
ez egy elképzelt valóság
of a world that is separate from Krishna
egy világ, ami különbözik Krishnától,
can be compared to the acts of dreaming and desiring.
Okay.
Got it. For instance, a conditioned soul dreams at night of something desirable or horrible. Or if he daydreams of something that he would like to have or he would like to avoid. He creates a reality which has no existence beyond his imagination. Actually, this is a very long verse. There's more to it, but I should explain it so we can analyze it. Because the verse talks about conditioned intelligence. Conditioned intelligence means maya prahita jnana, one whose intelligence is stolen by maya, stolen by illusion. And the verse gives the example of a person dreaming at night. He says if a person has a desirable dream or a horrible dream, he may have different experiences in relationship to the dream. Just like at night we may have a very nice dream. We may dream of ourselves being in some very enjoyable situation. Very wealthy, in a position like a king. Surrounded by maidservants. And we are enjoying the dream. But then we wake up. And then we feel terrible because we realize it was only a dream. Or if a person has a horrible dream, just like we may have a dream where we're being devoured by a tiger. Or we can think of so many horrible dreams that one may have. Something is just about something terrible is just about to happen. And we wake up. But this time we feel really good that it was only a dream. Now we're happy. Before we were sad. When we woke up from a good dream. And now we're happy because we woke up from a bad dream. But both the happiness and the sadness that we experience are not connected to reality. They're connected to a dream. So, therefore the point is made that a person who has conditioned intelligence he creates a reality which has no existence beyond his imagination. Because not only does the verse speak about dreams at night, but this verse speaks about dreams during the day. There are night dreams and there are day dreams. I know in America there's a very famous child's song. They sing, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, merrily, merrily, merrily. No, it's not known. Life is but a dream. It says, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, merrily, 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 life is but a dream. We used to sing this song as a young child. Life is but a dream. Little did we know how much reality there was in this little child song. The daydream is when we think of something we would like to have or something we would like to avoid. We have our daydreams which contemplate things that we very much desire, that we very much want to fulfill. Or distresses that we really want to avoid. And our whole life during the day becomes obsessed about fulfilling these dreams. We may actually get them fulfilled. But then the happiness we derive from their fulfillment isn't always what we expect it to be. We didn't anticipate the problems that come as well. We always dream about some state of perfect happiness. And when we achieve it, we see that there are other underlying problems we just never anticipated would come. And then that creates an anxiety to try to maintain the happiness that we wanted to get from this. We start thinking, wait a minute, I wanted this because it was going to make me happy. Now I have to make so much endeavor to protect it so that I will be happy. Just like a person who dreams about getting married. And anticipates the happiness that will be derived from association and what one will get in married life. But then there are a lot of problems that also come unanticipated. Familiarity, familiarity? You don't know familiarity? You become overly familiar with the person that you live with, and Prabhupada says familiarity breeds contempt. You get to know all the faults of the person that you're living with. And then there's conflict, disagreement. But in modern society, divorce is such a common affair. But nobody got married to get divorced. They got married because they anticipated it was going to bring some happiness by this relationship. This is one example. We can think of so many examples. We do not want to demean or slight a sacred marriage. We don't want to demean it or slight a sacred marriage which has true value. Demean? Belittle. Belittle? You know what belittle means? Make fun of. Because marriage is something sacred, and actually it is good when it's directed towards Krishna's pleasure. The problem is when we forget that it's for Krishna's pleasure. And we think it's for our enjoyment. Then we create a reality that has no existence beyond our marriage and imagination. But the fact of that is being made here in this commentary is that ultimately everything is bent to be directed for the pleasure of the Lord. And what makes something genuinely valuable is when it's properly connected to the Lord. And we should have the intelligence to know how to connect, how to be connected to the Lord. If we do not know how to connect things properly to the Lord, then we have to take shelter of somebody who can properly guide us and direct us how to connect our activities to the Lord. Just like in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a chapter where Narada Muni is speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj says to Narada, "You are Brahmachari, you are renounced. I am Grihastha, I am Griha Mudhadi. I am one who is forgetful about the goal of life." Therefore, I beg you to please instruct me how I can properly direct my activities according to the prescriptions given in the Vedic literatures and achieve the ultimate goal of life. And Narada Muni says it is the duty of the householder that he should engage in an honest means of livelihood. And he should offer the fruits of his labor for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How to do this can be learned by associating with persons who are always speaking about the glories of the Supreme Lord. In other words, one has to learn how to connect his activities for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. In the same canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj says, says, in the material world, every materialist is endeavoring for happiness, and he's trying to mitigate his distress, and therefore he is acting accordingly.
He
says, actually, as long as one is endeavoring for happiness, he is creating all his conditions for his distress, and therefore cannot be happy.
És amíg az ember a saját boldogságára törekszik, addig mindig csak a saját magának okozhat, és nem lehet addig boldog.
Everyone is trying to obtain happiness because it's our natural constitutional position to be happy.
Amíg valaki próbálja ezt a boldogságot elérni, mivel ez a fajta boldogság nem egy természetes állapot.
But when we try to endeavor for happiness for ourselves separate from Krishna, then we simply create our conditions for distress.
És amikor megpróbálunk boldogságot okozni magunknak úgy, hogy nem vagyunk kapcsolatban Krishnával, akkor ez csak a szenvedésünknek a forrásává válik.
We cannot make the connection between our distress, our present distress, and our previous attempts for happiness. We cannot make the connection between our present distress and our previous attempts for happiness.
És nem tudjuk összekötni a jelen szenvedésünknek az eredményét a múltban tett boldogságot.
But actually, any distress that we experience now is due to misuse of our independence in the past.
De minden szenvedés, amit most tapasztalunk, az a múltbani függetlenségünknek, független cselekedetünknek az eredmény.
Distress comes of its own accord.
Ez a szenvedés, ez a fajta szenvedés saját magától jön.
Nobody endeavors for distress.
Senki nem válik a szenvedésre.
Nobody wakes up in the morning and makes plans. What should I do today to make myself suffer?
Senki nem úgy kell fogadni, hogy azzal a tervvel, hogy mit tehetek ma azért, hogy szenvedjek.
But it comes.
De csak úgy jön.
It's just that happiness comes and distress come of their own accord.
Az boldogság és a boldogtalanság saját maga módján jön.
But when we make plans to try to avoid distress, we try to simply avoid distress so that we can be happy. But Bhagavatam says, Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido, that intelligent persons, those who are intelligent and those who are philosophically inclined, they should not endeavor for happiness, which is available from the highest planet Brahmaloka down to the lowest planet Patalaloka. Because as far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in due course of time. Just as in due course of time, one can attain distress without asking for it. So this verse in the Bhagavatam inscribes what is an intelligent person. Intelligent person doesn't make endeavors for these types of temporary happinesses.
Egy intelligens személy nem tesz erőfeszítést ezek után a ideiglenes boldogság forrásokat.
Because he knows that kind of happiness will come automatically in due course of time.
Mert tudja, hogy ez a fajta öröm fog jönni automatikusan a maga idejében.
Just as the stress comes automatically in due course of time.
Ugyanúgy, ahogy a szenvedés is jön automatikusan a maga idejében.
And therefore, as we said, nobody makes plans for distress. It comes. It comes as a result of our previous activities. In the same way, temporary happiness in this world will also come automatically in due course of time as a result of our previous activities. So the intelligent person should endeavor for neither. If the intelligent person should endeavor for neither, then what should he endeavor for? And that is spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence is to know what is right and what is wrong. And spiritual intelligence is strengthened by the instructions of higher authorities. Therefore, there is scripture, the instructions of saintly personalities, and there is higher instructions, there are dictations of the Lord coming from within the heart. Just like in Bhagavad Gita says, for one who conquers his mind, super soul is reached and he attains tranquility. For such a man, heat and cold, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, they are all the same. Therefore, the intelligent person is one who follows the higher dictation coming from higher authority. Krishna is in the heart and he also can dictate to the living entity. But he dictates according to the living entity's desires. We spoke about that last week. We gave the example of the persistent child who wants to put his finger in the fan. It was Prabhupada's son who wanted to keep on putting his finger in the fan and kept on looking to Prabhupada saying, can I do it? Can I do it? And he couldn't do it without getting permission from Prabhupada. And so he would always look to Prabhupada, can I do it? And Prabhupada said, no, don't do it. But because he was so persistent, one day the next door neighbor who was in the house saw the child doing this all the time. So he said to Prabhupada, pull out the plug of the fan and let, then when it slows down, let him put his finger in it. So that's what Prabhupada did. And then his son went up to the fan, can I do it? Prabhupada said, go ahead. He jumped back, fell back. So Prabhupada gave this example about like the soul and the super soul. The soul has so many desires that he wants to try to fulfill for his own personal happiness. But he cannot do it without Krishna's sanction. So Krishna sanctions, okay, you can do. But it's not that Krishna wants us to do it. Krishna can dictate in another way for those, he says, for those who are always endeavoring to serve me, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajatam pitipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam enamam buyantite. To those who are always endeavoring, worship me with love, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. So that intelligence also, buddhi yoga, buddhi means intelligence. Yoga means to connect to the Lord with one's intelligence. So there is material intelligence and there's spiritual intelligence. Under the influence of our conditioned intelligence, we see the dualities of this world. Therefore, now I'll continue with that verse that I started to quote before. I quoted the verse that talked about dreams, about the happiness and distress that we get from night dreams and the happiness and distress that we get from daydreams.
versemében arról volt szó, hogy a boldogság és boldogtalanság, ami az éjszakai és a nappali álmok során jön.
And how both of these create a reality that has no existence beyond our imagination.
És hogy mindezek olyan valóságot teremtenek, ami nem létezik a saját kitalációkon túl.
He said, and then the verse goes on to explain that the living entity, he endeavors for those activities which are based upon sense enjoyment. He says the tendency of the mind is to accept and reject activities on the basis of material sense gratification.
Az embernek az a természete, hogy elutasítson, vagy elfogadjon dolgokat, az anyagi érzékelégítése alapul.
The intelligent person, therefore,
ezért egy intelligens személy,
should restrict the mind from the illusion of seeing things separate from Krishna.
Egy intelligens személynek meg kell tartóztatni az elmét attól, hogy dolgokat Krishnától különbözőnek lássa.
And when his mind is thus controlled, then he experiences real fearlessness in this world.
És hogyha az elme eképpen van kontrollálva, akkor a személy valódi félelem nélküliséget érez ebben a világban.
This is the intelligent person.
Ez egy intelligens személy.
He restricts the mind from the tendency of seeing, of the illusion of seeing things separate from Krishna.
Megtartóztatja az elmét attól, az illúziótól, hogy a dolgokat Krishnától különbözőnek lássa.
There is another verse quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anything that is not conceived in relationship to Krishna is understood to be illusion.
Ami azt mondja, hogy minden, amit Krishnától különbözőnek vagy Krishnával nem kapcsolatosnak látunk, az illúzió.
None of the illusions which are either conceived in the mind or uttered by words are factual. None of the illusions which are either conceived in the mind or uttered by words are factual.
Tehát semmelyik illúzió, amit az elmében találunk ki, vagy amit szavakkal kimondunk, az nem tényszerű.
Since illusions are not factual, there is no distinctions in what we think is good and what we think is bad.
Hát, hogyha ezek az illúziók nem tényszerűek, akkor nincsen megkülönböztetés a között, hogy mi a jó és mi a rossz.
When we speak about the absolute truth, such mental speculation does not apply.
Tehát, hogyha a legfelsőbb igazságról beszélünk, az ilyen elmebeli spekuláció az nem alkalmazott.
So we are accustomed to thinking in terms of what is good and bad in relationship to ourselves.
Tehát hozzá vagyunk szokva, hogy a dolgokról úgy gondolkozunk, hogy jó és rossz magunkkal kapcsolatban.
This verse was spoken by Lord Chaitanya.
Ezt a verset az Úr
Chaitanya. And in the next verse he says, Dvaite bhadra bhadra gyan sabha manu dhamma, e bala e manda e sama brahma. He says, in the material world, such conceptions, this is good, this is bad, this is all mental speculation.
És a következő verset pedig azt mondja az Úr, hogy ezek a fajta elképzelések, hogy ebben az anyagi világban valami rossz vagy jó, az mind elmebeli spekuláció.
Therefore to say this is good, this is bad, it's all a mistake.
Ezért azt mondani, hogy ez jó vagy rossz, ez mind egy hiba.
What does Lord Chaitanya call it?
Hogy nem ezt az Úr Chaitanya?
Manodharma.
Manodharma.
Mano, what is the word mana means mind. And Dharma? Religion. It's the religion of the mind. Dualities. This is good, this is bad. This will make me happy, this will make me sad. This will make me famous, this will make me infamous. This will give me good reputation, this will get me bad reputation. Manodharma. We always think like this. But actually it's called the religion of the mind. What is real religion? Sanatana Dharma. Real religion is that which is eternal. Which is separate from the acceptance and rejection based upon the mundane mind.
Ami különbözik az elfogadásán és elutasításán a világi elmének.
And that which is eternal is that which is coming from Krishna in the form of spiritual instructions.
És ez, ami örök, ez a lelki utasítás formájában száll alá Krishnától.
Tamam tu sakshat bhagavat hi pranitam is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Real religious principles are coming from Krishna himself.
Srimad Srimad Bhagavatam magyarázza, hogy a valódi vallásos elme Krisnától magától származik.
One must become obedient to the instructions given by the Lord.
És az embernek el kell fogadnia ezeket az utasításokat, amiket az Úrtól kap.
This is real Dhamma.
Ez az igazi dharma.
This is real applied intelligence.
Ez a valódi alkalmazott intelligencia.
Prabhupada one time even said to his disciples, he says, intelligence means to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. He said, this is spiritual intelligence. In other words, whenever we are about to engage in some activity, we should think, is this what my spiritual master would want me to do? We need a gauge, we need a standard of how to apply our decisions in life. And if we just simply base our standards on our own mental speculations, then it's explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavachikin Shinar Savaya Gunais Tatra Samasate Sura Harava Bhaktashi Mahatgutomata Mano Retainasati Davato Bahi. Mano retina. Mano retina means the chariot of the mind. Chariot of the mind. He says all the good, the Prabhupada many times quote this verse, that all the good qualities of the demigods, such as knowledge, religion, and renunciation, automatically manifest in a devotee who is engaged in devotional service to Krishna. Automatically, all good qualities will come. One will not have to make an extra endeavor to develop good qualities. Because all these good qualities are the actual natural characteristic of the soul. If one simply learns how to direct his intelligence towards Krishna, it is like facing the sun. Everything is bright. With purified intelligence, one will make progress to the ultimate goal of life by getting direction both within the heart from the super soul and without from the scriptures and from the Vaishnavas. But if one simply rides in the chariot of the mind, one would only have to meet up at some point in time with distress. Of course, when one is very happy, he's thinking, why do I have to worry? Everything is good as long as there's no problems. That's how we define our happiness. I'm not having any problems right now. I'm happy. That's good. Let's just keep it that way. That's how we define our happiness.
No.
You know, just like Prabhupada says, it's like the dunking stool. Dunk it. When they dunk a person in water, it's called the dunking stool. Dunking stool, no? You tie a person to a chair and you put him under water and hold him under water. Until he can't breathe anymore. And then when he comes up, this is wonderful. And then you put him back down under the water again. So it's wonderful whenever you're pulled out of the water. So that's how we define our happiness. I'm not under distress right now. Therefore it's happy. But that's material happiness, which is only a temporary mitigation of distress. Rupa Goswami describes happiness in the Nectar of Devotion as three types.
háromszor magyarázza meg a nektár, vagy az odaadás nektárjában a boldogság.
A happiness derived from sense of contact, sense enjoyment.
A boldogság származik az érzékkel kielégítésből.
Happiness derived from liberation.
Boldogság származhat a felszabadulásból.
Liberation means, you know, when all you're no longer identifying with the false temporary pleasures of this material world.
Felszabadulás ugye azt jelenti, amikor már nem azonosítjuk magunkat ennek az anyagi világnak az ideiglenes boldogságával.
And there's a happiness that comes from no suffering.
És van annak egyfajta boldogság, ami abból származik, hogy nem tapasztaljuk ezt a szenvedést.
But the third type of happiness is much higher.
De a harmadik szintű boldogság sokkal magasabb.
And far more pleasurable.
És sokkal élvezetesebb.
It's the happiness derived from devotional service to Krishna. That happiness is superior because Krishna personally gives that happiness. He is Govinda, the giver of that pleasure, giver of that happiness. And when Krishna bestows that type of pleasure, there is no other superior pleasure. But who does Krishna give that pleasure to? He says, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them that help. Those who are always endeavoring to please me, meditating on my transcendental form, for them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Namaskuru, Krishna says, always think of me, always worship me, always offer your homages unto me, and surely you will come to me. Everywhere throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is giving his personal testimony. Just try to please me. That's real intelligence. We should make some endeavor in this life to utilize our body, mind and words for the pleasure of the Lord. Even if it appears to bring us unhappiness, it will be the source of greatest happiness. Because the Lord is pleased by the devotee who is determined to satisfy the Lord by his endeavors. And he won't allow him to remain unhappy. He will help that devotee, both from within and from without. This is called Shraddha, faith. This type of faith is required if one wants to advance in devotional service. Shraddha Shabde Vishvas, what is that verse? Sujita Nishkamba. Krishna Bhakti Kali Savakama Krittahaya. Shraddha means firm, confident faith that by engaging in devotional service, automatically all one's subsidiary duties are automatically fulfilled.
Shraddha az erős, szilárd, megindulhatatlan hitet jelent, hogy az odaadó szolgálat folyamatát végezve minden jó tulajdonság minden jó dolog.
This is real faith.
Ez a valódi hit.
That if I engage in devotional service and if I chant the holy name of the Lord, then all my other duties can be automatically fulfilled.
Tehát, hogyha én énekem a szent nevet és végzem a szolgálatot, akkor minden más kötelességem, minden más dolog teljesül, minden automatikusan megnyilván.
It doesn't mean we neglect our other duties.
Nem azt jelenti, hogy mi hanyagoljuk más kötelességünket.
But it means that we perform them in the proper perspective in relationship to chanting and hearing about Krishna.
De azt jelenti, hogy megfelelő szemléletben végezzük őket, Krishnával és a szemlélekben kapcsolatban.
Kamasya nindriya pati labo jivete yavata jivasya tatva vigyasya nato yas cheha kamabi. Life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire to live only because the human form of life enables one to inquire to the absolute truth.
az embernek csak azért szabad élnie, mert az emberi létforma lehetőséget ad arra, hogy az ember érdeklődjön az abszolút igazság felől.
This should be the goal of all of one's work.
Ennek kell, hogy legyen, ennek kéne, hogy legyen mindenkinek a célja.
So this is spiritual intelligence and spiritual knowledge.
Tehát van lelki intelligencia és lelki tudás.
And asamoha, freedom from doubt and delusion.
És az asamoha, az a kételytől és az illúziótól való mentesség.
Can be achieved when one is not hesitant and when he understands the transcendental philosophy.
Azt akkor lehet elérni, amikor az ember nem habozik, és valaki megérti a transzendentális filozófiát.
Slowly but surely he becomes free from bewilderment.
Lassan, de biztosan megszabadul a zavarodottságtól.
Nothing should be accepted blindly. Everything should be accepted with care and with caution.
Semmit sem szabad vakon elfogadni. Mindent nagy figyelemmel és elővigyázatossággal kell mérlegelni.
So this is a little bit about intelligence, knowledge, and freedom from doubt and delusion. And I think we should probably stop here. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.